Hello and welcome to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. This is Reverend Shreese Thorne inviting you to journey to all that is.
Hello everyone, this is Knowing Spirit Radio. I am the host, Reverend LaVon, and my co-host today is Reverend Shreese. And who did you say was joining us today also?
We have Hal Minogue, who has called in before. He's a poet and author, and I consider him a visionary of the new age in consciousness. And since we were going to speak about consciousness today, I thought it would be great to have him pop on and talk about his concepts of consciousness and some of the terms that he's been using that I have been borrowing from for this series over the last few weeks.
Oh, that's great, because I know we all have our own truth, but I think it's wise to hear other people's truth on a subject, and then that when we're alone, we need to find out from our all that is, what is our truth.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
So it is, pardon?
I was saying it is really, it's an expansion of awareness when you interact with other people and you understand where they're coming from. So that you can have a greater, a greater scope, and it widens the path, so to speak.
Yes, yes, and then of course it's. I think it's just the right thing to do when you speak with people, so you can understand them. To not try to prove them right or wrong, but just because we're all at our own level, our own truth. So I think, and I think it's enjoyable to hear other people's thoughts on it.
Yeah, it is, definitely it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially Hal's. He's got a really interesting way of putting things, and his poetry is very thought provoking, which I really I appreciate having been able to read. So, is he on the? Hi, Hal, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Shreese?
We're doing really well. Thanks for joining. LaVon and myself.
Hi, LaVon.
We were going to be talking about consciousness.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so I'll let you take over, Reverend LaVon, and guide us onto what kind of things do you think that we need to talk about today. And you've been working with the audience for quite some time. What are they looking for? We have had people listening for months and months now, and they are liking what we're talking about. So I think we should, keep up with the pace and keep thinking of new things, different ways to expand our awareness. So I'll hand it over to you, LaVon.
Okay, well, thank you. Okay, now, we all agreed to talk about consciousness today, and I hear that sentence all the time, so I thought, good, now I can maybe understand it a little more in detail. So, Hal, just tell us, what is your concept on consciousness? What is your...
Well, actually, consciousness is in everything. Consciousness is certainly we experience a focused form of consciousness, but consciousness really is the underlying flow of all there is throughout this universe and all the other universes that we're unaware of. So really, consciousness is the foundation, the building block for what we experience in our physical lives. I have the opportunity to express consciousness in my work through my poetry along with my writing, and every day something new occurs. It's amazing the different facets of consciousness that we experience day to day but don't realize we are, because we're focused on one particular form of consciousness that called human life. So, consciousness is all there is, LaVon, and it's the more you learn about it, the more interested you become in it, and you just realize that you are so connected to a web of consciousness that it just goes on infinitely. It's a very, very exciting thought to realize that there is consciousness in plants, in animals, in rocks, in everything. So with that in mind, I write specifically about consciousness and the awakening of other aspects of that consciousness within ourselves. That's what I call connected awareness.
So you're saying consciousness is connected awareness?
Absolutely. You know, we're always connected to, you know, what you and Charisse and Angela talk about, which is all there is. But we don't focus on it. We live our lives feeling that we're separated for a wide variety of reasons. But we are always connected in consciousness. The trick is to become aware of that fact and begin to live your life so that you experience more than the focused consciousness that you touch on every day.
So can we be in different consciousnesses at one time, or are we just into one?
Yes, absolutely. That's the whole fascinating part about it. Consciousness actually moves quicker than the speed of light. If you can imagine a blinking light, for example, and blinking at a rate that you can't really visualize or think about, that's what we do on a day-to-day basis. We are moving in and out of various consciousness, and at times we pick up little secrets or little hints of that fact, through various things. But yes, we are experiencing more than one consciousness at one time, but we only focus on one because if we did look at all of what was going on at one time, we would have a hard time trying to complete the mission that we have in life, and that is to become a grander version of who we are.
So can you give us an example, kind of like how we're in a different consciousness, not just one?
Well, actually, you know what? Let me read you something I just finished the other day. It's a thought. It's called Loving Spiders. Not too many people like spiders, but you know, spiders is a metaphor for what I'm writing about at the moment. So understand it as a metaphor. But April is Poetry Month, and being a poet, I had to sort of bring in not only the fact that it's April's Poetry Month, but also bring in some aspects of consciousness in with it. So the work is called A Loving Spider. Poetry in any form of expression is an enormous loving spider that tangles the reader in a web of thoughts. It has no time restrictions, and it lives outside the context of space. Its body is diverse, its voice is captivating, and its impact is life-changing. One bite from the mouth of a poem creates new visions, brings new hopes, and vibrant energy to individual realities. It is consciousness uniting with another aspect of itself, and it dances into other worlds of forgotten pleasures and truth. Poetry wears a coat of many colors, the shoes of lonely travelers, and its heart pumps love from the spring of its awareness. Every month is poetry. Every year is a verse in learning. Every decade is a stanza of remembering in synchronicity. Without the spider, no web. Without the web, no form. Without poetry, I sleep in the unconscious world of mortality. So that's a form of that we can sort of relate to as far as consciousness, because when you read a poem of something that you like or some particular interest, all of a sudden you go from experience that point of now to what is happening in the poem. So you move into another consciousness when you're reading it or listening to it or whatever the scenario is.
Okay, so maybe make sure I have an understanding, like before I get on this radio station, I'm Lavon, but then when I want to get on here to represent what I want to bring across, I get into a meditating form, and I ask all that is to completely have me think and say what I am supposed to do on the radio show here. So that's like another form of consciousness. It's like a
self, basically. You know, you're moving from one aspect of yourself that you know in one form into another form of yourself. So, you know, you're joining realities. You're joining the realities of consciousness.
So shifting, it's a shifting in consciousness then.
Yes.
So what you're trying to, you're like, she's constantly, so what you were talking about, Levon, is a shifting. So, you know, we have our everyday-to-day activities, which we have to be at a certain level of consciousness, because we have to be really grounded, drive the car, you know, go to work, pay our bills. But then we shift in and out, or we expand in and out. So, when before you come on this radio station, you pray that you expand your consciousness out enough that you can share the information that would be helpful to our listeners. Is that what you mean?
Yes. I think so.
Yeah.
Well, that's just like when I do massage or trauma erase, I notice that when I'm done, it takes me a little bit to come back. Like, it's like I can't remember things from when I'm doing my everyday stuff. But give me a little time, or, you know, there's some techniques you can do that you come back. And, you know, it can be a little embarrassing, especially if you walk out of the room and someone else is trying to get some information from you, and it makes you look like you're, you know, an absent-minded professor or something, you know. So is that what you're saying, Cherie?
Okay to feel that way, because you're going through the normal, and again, you know, when I say the word normal, I'm saying it because that's what everybody feels. You know, when something happens to you that you typically feel is unusual, it's out of the normal. But in essence, it really is part of who you are. What you're doing is really moving into another aspect of who you are, another self that is communicating in another way. And once you realize that you have not only that capability, but the capability to expand it even further, your whole world changes, and you really start to wake up and realize that we have an unlimited ability to tap into all sorts of knowledge and awareness. And that's when your life begins to change.
So you're saying everyone has thousands of consciousness, maybe even more than thousands and thousands, huh?
Exactly. It's exactly right. We tend not to look at ourselves that way. We look at ourselves one-dimensionally because that's what we've been educated to understand. But in essence, when you look around you at nature, and you look around you at the animal kingdom, and you look around at how other consciousness lives in this physical form, you start to realize that there are other aspects of ourselves that live that way too. We just don't recognize them.
So it's probably one of the reasons is from gathering from past life experiences. Is that what we're saying here? Or
actually, that's correct. And one of the things that Charisse and I have talked about is the fact that those past lives are really happening simultaneously with this one. And what is happening as you grow and in this focused consciousness, and you grow in awareness, you affect all those other, what you call past lives. And your whole entity, your whole soul grows and expands and becomes, you know, a greater extension and expression of all there is.
That's why Cherisse and I do clearings or help people clear, because what our past life consciousness is still hanging on to things. Like if we've been persecuted a lot, we're a little more leery of sharing, you know, our truth, because we've gotten persecuted severely in the past life. So we need to clear that consciousness.
Yes, it kind of spills over into this consciousness, you see. And what you're doing is aiding in the and making them aware of that scenario and clearing it up and really realizing that it, you know, it's okay to accept it and release it. And from that acceptance and release, you grow in awareness. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful service. And, you know, we all have that ability.
So also now, like before I was getting ready to go on the show, when I closed my eyes, because I see auras, I saw a different color. But I noticed that when I got quiet and was getting ready, I start seeing the goddess priestess color that I will see. So then what happened was that I went into that consciousness as the goddess priestess.
Yes.
Okay. See, things are making more sense. So a lot of this goes all together as one. It's just that me, in particular, was putting them aside on different tables, but they're really all on one table. Okay.
They're all on one table. That's the beautiful part about it. And sort of when you start to blend it all together, then it's you have the ability to blend your ego in with those other consciousness. Rather than trying to get rid of the ego or destroy it, what you do is you blend it in so that you can function being aware of the abilities that you have. And that's what makes enlightenment so special.
So an ego is a conscious form of us.
Ego is our focused consciousness. And it really is a derivative of our inner ego or our inner self. But you know, given the free will that we all have, the ego can take on many manifestations, the physical ego, and that's sort of what we see in day-to-day behavior of our fellow travelers on this journey.
So the ego is really what most people see us as, earthlings, then.
Yes.
And then we can, you mean by changing is by, let's say, we put on, I call it putting on a hat. You know, when we meet a new person, we put on our special hat. And then when we're with our mate sometime, we take our hat off and we let our, what they say, let your hair down. We act really what we are, right?
So, the ego is what we build ourselves, what we consider ourselves to be, you know, what we want the world to see us as. And the ego is, and in that process, we build walls around it, and we restrict ourselves in the ability to see anything outside the walls. So all of the things that we're talking about today are hidden behind the walls of the ego.
One of my teachers that I have had the blessing to work with mentioned when I was studying to be a priest, that the ego is not to be annihilated, but it is to be educated, because we try and perfect ourselves to the point where we hurt ourselves, because when we're trying to perfect, we're not accepting, like accepting our humanity and accepting our, you know, our weaknesses, let's say that. But when we educate our ego, and you educate your ego by talking to different people, like listening to shows like this, reading books, sitting quietly, meditating, going within, life, you know, life is an educator. But when we educate the ego, it expands out. And one of the articles I wrote, maybe last year, I had witnessed a morphing of my ego turned into, quote-unquote, the goddess. Because what was happening is I was running away from myself. I was running away from who I was and why I was here. And then when I finally realized there's nothing to be afraid of, you know, we're all one. There's nothing to be afraid of being a healer and being a goddess. It's actually something to embrace. And then when I educated that ego, it morphed, it evolved into that higher master self that was always there just waiting for me to become one with it. It's, you know, that master's always there. It's just, are we going to become one with it? So I like the thought of educating the ego instead of annihilating it, because it's more loving, don't you think?
Yes, and see, and basically what it is we have been trained to want to annihilate everything. That is not the way to grow, by destroying. What it is a blending, as you're talking about, of the ego into the other awarenesses of consciousness. So, once we move out of the thought process of trying to destroy things and then think everything's going to be better, we then are able to connect with ourselves a little easier and feel the love that we have within us. And this is something that, again, Charisse, I want to share with you and LaVon. It's called Hello. Happiness is an innate impulse that is hidden by my own thoughts of unworthiness. I just need to be present in the now and say the magic word, hello. Hello means taking control of the one thing in physical thought life I can control, and that's my emotions. I can think my way to a better world by allowing myself the opportunity to feel the love I have within me. By being aware of this energy, I can connect to it. And immediately, my emotions begin to act and react differently to everyday situations. I may not enjoy an experience, but I learn from it, and I change because of my choices. Change is a tool of awareness and a gift in physical life. Change does not affect my happiness unless I want it to. I have the power to remain happy regardless of the contrast I encounter through my daily routine. So why is it I choose to be unhappy? Why is life such a struggle with no end in sight? Why? Why do I put myself through the agony of unworthiness? It's no secret that I learn from what I see around me. I adjust my thoughts to conform to what I feel is right. I live in a world of duality where separation is the normal way of knowing. I'm an individual who is separated from every other creature, who is separated from nature, and from the God who created all of it. It's no wonder I'm separated from happiness and joy. I've been schooled to think I must fight and struggle and be in pain and suffering before I can be happy. Happiness comes in death. Life is a fleeting moment of agony, and my reward is the happiness of reunion with my spirit. Now's the time to throw out the old books, to toss aside the thoughts of separation, and to begin to live in spirit. I don't need to be 10 feet under to experience the happiness my spirit enjoys. Reuniting my ego with my spirit is the first step. I can do that now, in this moment of three-dimensional living. From that union, I add dimensions to my world. I begin to sense my impulses, and I feel my emotions from within. I experience external contrast, and I'm happy for the opportunity to work through it. I'm connected to all life in a web of consciousness that only knows happiness and the joy of expressing it. I'm no longer caught in a vice where one world is closing in on another. Separation is no longer a choice. It's a dinosaur that is buried in happiness. Now I say hello to happiness every morning. I look in the mirror and I see what I created through my years of separation, and I'm happy for the experiences. I smile, and the image in the mirror winks and says, love is what you see. I just did that the other day.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That was beautiful.
It really was, yeah.
Have just a question, and it's out of the blue. It's probably not related at all to this session, but anyhow, I've got to be honest. That, to me is like a guided healing. You might want to put some music to those words, and, what a new way of experiencing your senses.
You know what we're, and I'd love to do that too. Of course, as you know, from our conversations, that music is certainly a big part of my life. But yes, our impulses, once we understand that our impulses are the language that our consciousness uses to communicate with us, and our emotions express those impulses, then all of a sudden we really take control of our focused consciousness. And that is an exciting thing. So I have been spending a lot of time trying to be in touch with my emotions and also allow my impulses to roam freely in this focused consciousness and listen to them. And listen to them because they come from a root of happiness and love. They don't come from anything other than that. And once I realize that, then all of a sudden, you know, I just experience in anything, in almost everything that I do, a feeling of joy.
Well, the feeling of joy is something that you were talking about, LaVon, maybe, 6 or 7 weeks ago, and I have certainly noticed, and as well as in you, Hal, there's certain people that you can just kind of tell by the way that they're talking, the way that they live their lives, that they are actually in a constant state of joy. They're few and far between. Not a lot of people on the planet are living that way. But when you do see people with this it's almost like a glisten in the eye, whatever. When you do see them, you are attracted to them because you want to know how did they get there and how do they stay there? Because, you know, fleeting happiness has been fleeting for the masses. But, you know, getting there, I think, is the trick, and your poetry is really helpful in that way. And then, LaVon, I know you offer the trauma array. So, you know, maybe you guys can share a little bit about the journey to this place of constant joy. Because it is a gift to mankind, this joy. Like, you actually living in joy is a gift to mankind. So maybe we can talk about that journey a little bit.
Well, you know, it's interesting you said that, because I just came from a vacation visiting my family in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and my mother asked me that, and it must be because she saw it. And, you know, I don't think I've ever been asked that before, if I'm happy or if my life is peaceful. And I kind of got quiet, and I said, you know, Mom, my life is. But see, her life is completely opposite. She just can't let go of worrying and stress, and, you know, she's just in that consciousness, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is I had to be raised in a home like that, and I had to find joy and peace through my spiritual journey as a gospel worker. And part of it was I had to break away from the foundation that I was raised in, because I still am. When I go home, I realize how attached I am to that, and I realize why I'm not there. So I think for me, having the opposite and then feeling it is what helped me a lot. Because now whenever I feel a disharmony, not of peace or joy, I have learned how to completely clear it. But again, when I do go through those moments, I am being shown that I do still have some of that consciousness. But it's the universe, the divine, is so loving and only sends it when she knows we can handle it. I'm not going to say it always was, because even there's an experience with a lady, and just when you were talking, I realized, because as a gospel worker that I was for over 20 years, there was kind of a philosophy among the ones I was with that, you know, you couldn't sin and you had to act a certain way, you had to be not proud, all those attributes, which is great, but if it's in you, you know, it hurts when you can't be you. So I've had to learn that too, that just because you don't have those fruit of the Spirit, as the Bible calls, doesn't mean that you're bad. It just means that's your consciousness. And it's up to you. Like, I like the way Hal kept saying, hello, do you want this or do you want the more higher energy feelings? It's choices. And again, we come here with each lifetime to learn and to teach. So we have to accept that others are where they're at, too, and that can be unpeaceful if you think you got to make everyone else be where you're at. And I saw a lot of that in my journey as a gospel worker, and it taught me a lot by seeing and experiencing it. So I guess that's my main So how about you, Hal? What was your, what got you to this point?
You know, it's sort of a constant state of, you know, work in progress, because, you know, just the being human is in itself the contrast of learning to appreciate the joy that surrounds us. One of the things that really stuck with me, and one of the things that I write about, is I was listening to you, Levine, and Charisse, and Angela was on the phone on the program at that time, and she brought up judgment, and that was one of the things that she really works on all the time, and that's so true. Your words that you were just talking about, looking at other people and analyzing what their beliefs are, is really a matter of letting go of the judgment, because their path and how they choose to live it is their truth. And they'll find the joy at some point in the journey. And it's up to us to drop the judgment and enjoy our journey and to find the happiness that we find, because we all are living a different reality in this collective consciousness. And we find that happiness in different ways. And there is no one way, there is no right way, there is no wrong way. There just is the way. It changes for everybody. So, you know, with me, every time something pops up that doesn't look like it's going to be very happy, I have to step back and think for a moment and think a better thought and just move through it. You know, after a few minutes, you know, things start to brighten up again. But it is certainly a work in progress.
Well, you know, I call that a slap in the face experience, because we are human, and
right,
things happen, so we react usually as a human right away, and then all of a sudden, like you said, wait a minute, you observe what's going on, and then you deal with it. But sometimes that slap, because, you know, when you get a slap, it doesn't hurt very long. But sometimes it hurts a little longer than you'd like it to. But then you've got to come to your senses. And that's why it's really neat how people come in our path, like Charisse and her mom, Angela. Because I did a lot of the trauma erase with them for over a year and a half weekly. And I would be talking about something, and then they would remind me, wait a minute, you know, that's just a message for you. And then instead of taking that slap as, oh, are so horrible, you think, wonderful, wonderful. It's like, hello, hello. So again, life is, we're here to learn, as a rule, because I know some come here just to teach and help. But so I agree with that. You know, a life isn't, well, things can happen. They don't always seem like, how can I be happy at that moment? But afterwards, you know, then you see the happiness out of it.
Absolutely. And can I'll read it. Something else. I couple of things prepared, because I knew that our conversation would take many roads. And one of the things that really gets in our way, because we allow it to, is time. In our conception of time, time seems to be a big hurdle in our road of awareness and of connection. And I wrote something today about it, but I'm going to read something I wrote the other day. It's called Time Without a Watch. And it's called, it says, I take the air I breathe and the water that sustains me for granted. They are elements that are always present and always will be, until at some point, I realize these workers are a part of consciousness, and they have their own energy and life force. In physical form, they are my fellow workers that help create the world as I know it, and the place I call home. Without the energy and support of this form of consciousness, I would not experience the wonders that surround me daily. My physical form would be altered, my expression would change into a different aspect of existence. I would be alive, but my experience would completely be transformed. They are thoughts of awareness. They unite me with another aspect of myself. They awaken my thoughts and change my beliefs about the nature of nature. The air, water, rocks, and plants are all fellow travelers on this physical journey, each one a worker to assist me in remembering who I am and what I desire. Each unit of consciousness communicates with me vibrationally and guides me through this magical experience. All I have to do is enjoy them, be one with them, be grateful for them, and share them. My work is unconditional universal service without attachments or restrictions. Abundance and freedom are the fruits of my labor. Unity is my tree of life, and love is time without a watch. Sorry for the phone.
That's okay. Someone's trying to call through. That's okay. I was still hearing what you were saying, and it was really profound.
Well, you know, this whole business of linear time, I've come to realize is that once we pull ourselves out of that aspect of ourselves and start to live in the cycle of time, which is outside of the linear time, and live in the cycle that we see other forms of consciousness living in, our world changes and our happiness really starts to come. You know, we don't ask a rose or a forsythia bush or a redbud tree how happy they are. We see by their expression the happiness that they express. So, you know, that is, I think, the wonder of awareness.
I know that when I see the auras of trees, it's always a love aura.
Yes.
It's always, for me anyways, it's always, in fact, I live in a forest, and I could see the hand of the divine why I'm here, because, you know, whatever we're among is what we become, right? So I know I will see, like even right now, I'll see the fan on my wall, and it's got its aura, and now I understand why, because it has its own consciousness.
It's its own consciousness, and boy, you know, all of a sudden, and you have a wonderful gift that we all certainly can work on of seeing those things and really appreciate them at another level. And you take yourself to another level of consciousness and become one with them, and that's just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
So that's what that is. When I see an aura of a item, I'm with their consciousness.
You're actually, you know, you're connecting to their stream. You're seeing them in their cycle of time. You're not looking at it from a linear time aspect. You're looking at it in a cycle of time.
Really? Quite interesting.
And it's awareness. It's an expanding of awareness, which is what I really, the newsletter that we just sent out, if I'm not mistaken, I think we named it Expanding Awareness, because these things are already here. These dimensions that I've written about in the book and all the meditations we do on this and, you know, what Hal is talking about, it's already existing here. Everything is already existing. It's existing in one time, that nonlinear that he's talking about. And when we expand our awareness out, that's when we start to become aware of what was already there. We start to become aware of the energy fields that surround something. When we start to become aware of the different essence, you know, the divine essence of everything. Everything has its own essence. And then we start to become aware of the world outside of this normal, everyday one. So we start to become aware of the world where those who have crossed over are walking around, you know, very happily content that they can eat and not get fat. You know, that's the biggest comment that they make. There's so many worlds. There's the worlds of angels, and then there's the worlds of the fairies, and then there's the worlds of the time travelers, or what other people call aliens. But all the worlds exist right here and right now. It's just a matter of us becoming aware of them. And that awareness, I swear, is ecstasy. That awareness is what we're looking for. We look to drugs and we look to alcohol and we look to stimulate our senses with these things that don't work. what works is becoming aware of these other worlds, because it is like a I don't know how to say it. It's like lightning going up your spine, and your brain goes on fire, and you start to realize yourself. You start to realize the nature of the universe. You start to realize who you are, and then nothing can bother you. Like literally, nothing bothers you, and you end up being a very peaceful person all the time. And then it feels so good because you're at home. You know, I'm at home now. I know where all my brothers and sisters are. I know what they're doing because I'm aware of them. And I felt separated. I felt like I had run away, and I did, because I wasn't aware of them. But now I know. Well, now I can see where everybody is and what they're doing, what they're up to. You know, I have a support system now. Now, sometimes it's challenging because not other people can see my support system, but they're there. And that's what the ecstasy is. Ecstasy is that opening up of, you open up the spine, open up the nervous system, and expand it beyond your human conception. Go beyond the human thought. And think of yourself as just consciousness. Don't think of yourself as human. The human is just the body that you're using. And that is where bliss comes in. And we're looking for this eternal, sustained level of bliss. We don't want to go up and down and back and forth. This is a sustained level of bliss is really what will carry us through an eternity. And we are eternal beings, so we might as well seek that which is eternal.
So you're saying like these angels and aliens, they're in their own form of consciousness. Even though
yes.
they have many, but that is their main... Would that be their ego form, or can we just use that term as an earthling?
Well, I guess, you know, sometimes words are so... I find words... Unless
limited.
In poetry, yeah, I really find them limited sometimes. That's why I like your poetry, Hal, because the words can take on several meanings, but the way that they're written, you understand the infinite possibility that you're trying to put out there. But because words, one thing, the ego, you know, somebody who took transpersonal psychology, well, it'll mean something else to somebody who did another type of psychology. Sometimes words are meaningless. It's more a feeling. I'm talking about like an experience, more in essence.
Yeah, that's right. Words are just kind of the roadmap. They're not the territory itself, and they are limited in their ability to express these other forms of consciousness that we experience and that are surrounding us in the family of consciousness. That is connected to all there is. So, you know, all we can do with words is to shoot at the target. But what happens really is our vibrations, our impulses, get closer to the mark of understanding once we allow them that luxury. So. You know, we try to throw words at things, and sometimes they just don't hit the target.
So words are basically, so let's say for example, the three of us, if we all can agree on what that word means, we can just say the word and not try to explain everything we're saying. Right? Like, you know what I'm trying to say? So we say the word ego among the three of us because we are earthlings. We understand it as our nature as an earthling.
Yes, absolutely. You know, vibrationally, we communicate with other forms of consciousness, and that is something that we're not trained to do. We innately know how to do it, but we don't focus on it once again because we are here trying to remember who we are first off. You know, so it's sort of like one foot in front of the other. You open one door and all of a sudden the light comes on and the room is just bright and it's wonderful and it's filled with colors and just magnificent. And then all of a sudden you see another door and that one, you walk over to it and you try to open that one. And then a whole other plethora of things come about that are even more exciting and enticing and loving. So it really is this whole journey is such an incredible experience, and we put ourselves through it to become grander versions of who we are.
Now, do you think there's a possibility that there are people maybe even just two people that are agreeing or at the same level of consciousness?
Well, actually, yes, there are. You know, that's a great, that's a whole other topic that we can talk a whole lot about. But, you know, we share consciousness with other people that are not only, are not only physically here anymore, but also are physically here. So that you do have a form of consciousness that could be living in another country. It could be living down the street from you. It could be in all sorts of different places, and be connected to that family of consciousness that you are. So once you realize yourself as such as this multidimensional being, this multidimensional consciousness, my goodness, just think about it for a second and just imagine the possibilities that come from that.
Yes, well, that would be very interesting to cover.
Well, I guess we'll have to have you on again.
Yeah, I guess so.
Thank you. I have one other, I'm going to read one more thing about spring that I wrote, and I'm going to let you, stop me.
It's about what?
About spring. It's called Spring is Time Itself. How sweet the fragrance of love. How gentle the mood of resurrection and growth. My life is filled with abundance and peace. Yet I walk past it to find lack and instability. I burden myself with clocks, watches, and deadlines, only to discover the fruitless rewards of stress and anxiety. I push and pull my way through each day, wanting relief, only to find more pain and anger, dressed in the robes of normal behavior. My normal is abstract when I awaken to the time of nature, when I release myself to the energy that is the foundation for all consciousness. I begin to remember who I am. I allow my inner self the freedom to unite with my outer self. Just like spring, I begin to blossom and flower with connected awareness. The colors of my chakra glow with wellness and vitality. Each wheel of energy is open, and I feel the wind of my creator carrying me to another dimension of reality that I forgot existed. I open like the lotus flower, display my love of being physical. A simple poem explains this simple message. Now is the time to connect to the spring I have within me. Now is the time to flower and express my spirit in human form. Now is the time to love and to be grateful for the opportunity to grow in awareness. Spring is time itself. If I think about something long enough, it becomes a belief. What I believe, I experience. What I experience, I express. And what I express, I become. Spring is my expression, and I'm becoming a flower of love, connected to the tree of life that roots itself in the soil of all there is. That's it.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, that was very beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. I really... I have to say I really resonate with it. Now, I'm not quite sure if that's because, you know, I really feel that we're from the, you know, really dwelling at the same family of consciousness, or just that I'm human and as much as I am spirit, I guess, because I'm using this human body, there are certain soft spots. So let's say I have a soft spot for the songs of spirit that I do. That I call what you do. I don't think poetry really covers it. I think it's songs of spirit. So that's my soft spot, as I call it. Yeah. So I know that we need to start wrapping up. I wanted to say thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me, Levon and Charisse. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, so very interesting. Very interesting. So how many minutes do we have, Charisse?
I think we've got two more minutes, so if you wanted to, I'll let you give out the information.
Okay, yes. If anyone out there would like to call and maybe even set up a trauma erase through the phone, you can call 218-425- pardon, what did you say?
Yeah, station one numbers. We're going to give out, for future callers, we want to give out station one numbers, so I'll do it real fast. It's 1-877-876-5227. If people want to call in and they want to talk to you about trauma or race, don't forget that they can start calling in now for at the radio show. And the other number is 1-888-815-9756. Sorry, go ahead with your home phone number, Levon. Sorry,
okay.
your business number. Your business number. Sorry.
My business number. Okay.
Yeah.
218-425-3983, or else email me at lavonf@wicktail.com. That's lavonne@wiktel.com.
And if anybody is interested in booking a consultation with myself, Reverend Shreese Thorne, or any information about the Temple of Knowing Spirit, it's www.knowingspirit.org. Really easy to remember. So thank you. Thank you, Levon, for having me on your show today.
Well,
and I look
you.
Forward to next week and maybe talking a little bit more about this consciousness.
Yes, that would be right. Really wonderful.
All right, thanks so much.
Everybody have a good day.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. Please visit our website at www.knowingspirit.org. And if you would like to be a guest on our program or book a private consultation with Reverend Shreese Thorne, please call us at 1-815-483-1141. Until then, this is Reverend Shreese sending you light and love on your journey home.